Okay, fine. So, we had last week started this whole issue of the combing, possibly combing, of the animal, which we saw three positions in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. We have the position of right. We have Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is Meikili, allows Mekardin. The Rabbi Huda says you can't do Mekardin, but you can do Mekartzifin. The Chacham said you can't do Mekardin or Mekartzifin. And then the Gemara had said, what are these things? So the Gemara had said Kerur is small and Kartzuf is big. When the nafkah means whether it makes chabura, what's the three-way machlokes, that Rabbi Yehuda thinks the davar sheni miskafein is usur, and therefore he forbids karud, because that will definitely cause chabura, but he allows kartsuf, because he doesn't hold that we're gozer. Kartsuf atu karud, the chachamim are even more machmer, they are gozer, Rabbi Nazaria holds like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he's mekel. Now what are these things, karud and kartsuf? So we know that according to the Rambam, it means removing bugs, and kard versus kartsuf is, are you removing a big bug or are you removing a small bug? If you're removing a big bug, so then it doesn't necessarily cause blood. If you remove a small bug, then it does, because you have to really sort of pick at it. And if that's the case, then this sugya has nothing to do with the sugyas of combing on Shabbos for a human being. But Rashi understands kard and kartsuf as having to do with combing the animal, and when it says gadol and katan, it means how big are the bristles, the teeth on the comb. And this led us to the sugya in Nazir, where the Gemara in Nazir says that combing a human being is forbidden, even according to Reb Shimon, because it will always remove hairs. So we tried to figure out, okay, well, what's the difference between the sugyot? So Tosfos says, well, the sugyos are really the same. Human hair is the same as animal hair. The difference is metal comb versus wooden comb. If it's a metal comb, so then that's the Gemara in Nazir. A metal comb, both on human hair or on animal hair, is a psik resha that is going to remove hairs because it's so fine and so sharp, and therefore it is asur. As opposed to, in our sugya, we're talking about a wooden comb, and therefore it's not a psik resha, it's only a davar sheni miskaven, and it's only a davar sheni, or at least on the large toothed ones, and that's why you have more mekel sheet out here. And Reb Shimon at least is going to be mekel, and since we paskin like that, so we paskin like Reb Shimon, and therefore halacha lemaisa, he would say that you could, for Reb Shimon, even for a human, you could use sort of a large toothed wooden, or I guess plastic would be the same thing, comb on Shabbos. That's the position of Tosfos. We saw that the Shita Mekubetzet had a totally different understanding of this sugya. We're not going to revisit it now, but we, if you remember, he had a whole different understanding of this sugya. What I want to do today is approach this from another angle. I'm not going to repeat everything we did last week. But the problem that we had, if you remember, that this was, well, you know, let's just go back to the Shita Mekubetzet just to see what was going on. The Shita Mekubetzet in 17 had said something which is very hard to understand, right? He said, Perush, Avagav de Avid Chabura lav psik reishahu, v'gam en amesha she'ar al mashikvar talush. So he said that even though when you comb, it makes a chabura, it's not psik resha. So we last week suggested that the Shita Mekubetzet can't mean that literally, right? And that's where I'll pick up, right? That the Shita Mekubetzet said that you will, when you comb, cause a chabura, but it's not a psik resha. So we noted that at first glance, if you say that that's what it means, that's a contradiction in terms. If it will make a chabura, then it is a psik resha. Right? If it might make a chabura, then it's not a psik resha. So we said, well, maybe what he means is it when he says it'll make a chabura, he means it'll likely make a chabura, but not definitely, and therefore it's not a psik resha or something like that. It was very hard to parse. We noted the whole sheet of Mugetz is very hard to parse. What I want to do is suggest that maybe he means it literally. Right? Maybe the Shita Kumbetz actually means what he said literally, which is that when you comb with these fine-tooth combs, you you do make a chabura, and even though you're going to make a chabura, it's still not a psik resha. Now, how could that possibly be? Right? That's where we left off last week or 2 weeks ago, right? How could that be, right? Until now, everyone else had talked about, okay, is it inevitable? Is it not inevitable? Is it big tooth, small tooth? And the assumption that everyone was working with was that if the comb that you have is fine enough, that it's either going to cause a chabura or it's going to pull out hairs, right? Whether you're talking about the Gemara here in Shabbat, in Beitza, you're talking about the Gemara in Nazir, then it's called psik resha. And if it's psik resha, Rav Shimon is oser. Everyone's oser, psik resha. Once it's inevitable, it's oser. Okay. So why does Mishita Mugwetzet seem to say not that way? So let's assume for a moment that he means it, that he actually means what he says. So here, let's go to 13. 13, this is one of the most famous tshuvot of the Rivash, basically because how many people read the tshuvot of the Rivash? Uh-huh. I do. I love the Rivash. I absolutely love the Rivash. I really do. He's amazing. He's in Gwashesha, North Africa.
Why do you love him?
He is the most poetic insulter of any Rishon. It's incredible. He's so good. Oh my God, he's so good at insults.
That's why you love him.
Okay. Oh yeah. It's poetic insults. No, he's also
better
great
than Ibn Ezra, better than Ramban.
Oh yes, he has one tshuva. This tshuva. It's about... I think just reading straight, it took me over 10 minutes with my chavrusa once to read the insults. It's in rhyme and poetry. It's, you know. And then he has my all-time favorite, you know, insult, which, you know, you have to know some Sanhedrin to even understand what he said, right? But he turns to the guy who's trying to be Makil, and he says, and this Shaila, and we'll see it in just a second, he says, I don't understand what you're doing. Im yore, yore, im yadin, yadin, yatir, isurim, al yatir. Right, which is a play on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, where the Gemara said smicha, right, it's questions, yore, right, can I paskin, yore, you can, and then the last one is yatir b'chorot, right, can I matir b'chorot, al yatir, and he's told, in the second case, he can't. I love the Rivash. He's also a great lamdan. He's really a wonderful lamdan. His tshuvot are a pleasure to read. But this tshuva is quoted in the Mogen Avram. So he was asked, imutr lisrok b'masreik b'shabbos. Is it permitted to comb your hair on Shabbos? So he said, "Davar baruch hu shaser." It's aser. I don't know what the question is. Didan b'sechas nazir. It says in the Gemara. We saw this already. U'maisin lo b'sechas Shabbos. It's also in Shabbos. In Shabbos, parak mametom. In linyan Shabbos, nazir chofev u'mefas beis v'nirem mipshasa gizu. She'ein atzrika psikrei shavu aser. Mitam shem miskam lasher nimen amedul dolin. It says it seems to be. That srika, the combing, so he says, is not a psikretra. It's usr because it's mechaving, right? He thinks that it's not, the Gemara's chiddush is that it's not psikretra. It's actually worse than psikretra, right? It's mechaving. You actually want to pull out.
Miskaven or?
Yeah. Right, you actually want to pull out because when you comb your hair.
Mechaven or miskaven?
Either one, right? You're doing it bichavana, okay. Right?
Nobody wants to pull out hair. Speaking for myself,
I'm with you. I get it. But he said, you know, but lemidul dalin, right? The hairs are already like falling out. You know, I know you don't really want to speak. Know, I get it. I get it.
Members that Rashi brings down about when it comes to kisese, right? And then it says ben sor mor, and then the Gemara talks about it. He's got the two eyes, and one tears out his black hairs, and the other tears out his gray hairs.
So then he says,
it's possible to happen. He takes the comb to his head.
But anyways, the general assumption is that what the Gemara means that it's psikresha. So he said, but the shoel, the person who asked the question, wanted to be mekel. Why do you want to be mekel? Right, it's against the Gemara Mefureshet. Hayoda srigap sikresha. Vinazata tam litvarecha. He said, look, you admit that every time you comb, you pull out hairs. That's just the way combing is. Right? You comb, if you're combing with any sort of real comb, a fine-toothed comb, you're going to pull out hairs. That's just psik ratio. But you come up with this chap. Tehoel v'chazinon dein ha-sorik tolesh. Kol sar rosho atzli sharbo afilu echad. He said, well, let's look. When you comb your hair, do you comb every hair? No. Right? You're not bald by the time you finish combing your hair. Haraya, it doesn't pull out every hair. So the Shoel said, what do you mean it's psikresha? Combing, it's a psikresha that you'll pull out a hair. But every hair that you comb isn't a psikresha, it's a davar sheino miskaven. Because it might be inevitable that you will pull out hairs in the process, but not this one. The cave and chicane after shalo yitrosh actually shalo yitrosh afil echad mehem, and therefore you said it's theoretically possible that you could comb your hair without pulling out a hair. Haraya, every given hair you don't necessarily pull out, which means that combing it's not definitionally impossible to pull it. Vizem mivuar habitul. He said, that is ridiculous. That is utterly ridiculous. How do I know? She'im kein b'misuchraisa dinizaisa tomer she'ino psikresha. He said, the classic case of psikresha is pulling out the stopper on a stuffed, that's stuffed into a wine bottle, a barrel, right? Misuchraisa dinizaisa, like a cloth stopper that you pull out. Why? Because we say that as you pull it out, you're going to squeeze out wine. There's no way of not doing it. It's so tight. But he says, but you should say that Kaven Chain Kola Yani Nithad Mi Menu. You should say that since the not all the wine is squeezed out, at Shishara Yavesh, the point where it's dry, Afilu Echad Mehem, Yavesh Kicheres, that it's not dry like Cheres, so it's clear that you're not, every drop of wine is not a psikresha. It's clear that we look at the process, right? The whole action you're doing, not the specific action. V'chein, Rabbanan Gazri, and then he said, look at our sugya. In Beitza, V'chein Rabbanan Gazri, Beperek Beis de Beitza, Kartzuf, Delova Avid Chabura, Atu Karo David Chabura. And where goes there, according to Chachamim, the combing with the wide tooth comb, because Xera of Karod, of the fine tooth comb. V'have Kaimalon Kavasayu, Ilav Mishum de Kaimalon Kirub Shimon, and we would paskin that way if it weren't for the fact that paskin Kirub Shimon, the Davashin Miskavin is Mutter. So what do you see? Right, in our sugya again, it's not clear that at any given point you're going to chabura, right? We just think that it's not inevitable you're going to create a chabura at all, so we call it davar sheino miskaven. But if it were inevitable that you would cause a chabura during the process, so it would be usur. What's your raya? So this was something we noted last week, that our sugya in Beitza says that the problem is chabura, and the Gemara in Nazir said the problem is pulling out hairs. So, what was this guy's argument? This guy's argument was that, no, the reason combing your hair is usur is not because of psikresha, it's because it's not a psikresha, it's because of chavana. It's because when you're combing your hair, you want to pull out the hair. But let's say you didn't want to pull out the hair, so then it would be mutter. It's not a psikresha, it's just that it's miskaven, right? You have intent. And that's why the Gemara in Beitza didn't say that it's usur to comb the hair of the animal because you're going to pull out hair. It said it was usur to comb the hair of the animal because you might make chabura. Because if the only question was, are you going to pull out hair? So then for the animal, it's mutter, because the Gemara only assumes that you have kavana to comb your hair and pull out hairs by a human, but not by an animal. Kama peir docha yafa rav chazdai neiru natre rachmana. Tam hadavar she'ena kardva. Kardva b'sikros osha. Adam v'yuzar z'behema k'tzarim v'enam v'zarvin miskashon. He said it's a technicality, which is the consistency of human hair versus animal hair. Animal hair is often shorter, and therefore it's theoretically possible you could comb it without pulling it out. And therefore you only pull out the hairs that are already uprooted. Shigam b'avar z'hayar al gaba yiplu kamasaros ne'akarin. Or their hair is stronger. Another reason to distinguish and say the reason our Gemara brings up the problem of chabura and not pulling out hair is because when it comes to animal hair, either they're cut shorter and therefore they don't get pulled out when you comb, or they're stronger and they don't get pulled out when you comb. And Odomar Sha'afim Tia Srika Psikresha, and then you said this Kiddush, that even if it is Psikresha Muterik, if he's far as a Balaruch, Lomodrip Shum Psikresha, Elaheha de Nichale, Vinevar of Elaheha de Azale Ibud Lo. So maybe you paskin like the Aruch, that says that even if something's Psikresha, even Psikresha is only Usur if it's Nichale. So, possibility one, I think, now for the Shidim Gubetzet is this. Right, possibility one is that the Shita Mekubetzet, when he says Psikresha, he means it's Psikresha. But there is a Shita in Rishonim that even Psikresha needs to be Nichalei, and therefore maybe when he says it's Psikresha that he calls in Chabura, he means it. And he's saying it's still Mutter because it's Lo Nichalei. But that's possibility one. Right, because it goes Le'ibud, but the Rivash doesn't like it. And he says, V'afal Pisha Saras Anoshas Ozli Ibud Ma Bekach Kevan Shenen Melachai. Right, it's not true. Okay, right, and then right, he goes on and explains why he thinks this is not true. Fine. So let's continue. Now,
what the insult? I'm waiting for the
what?
Insult.
I cut out the insults. I'll send you the insults. Okay. No, I sent you the insults. Okay,
so you're waiting for the insult.
No, I said that's why I love the reverse so much. Anyways, so one possibility I think to explain the Shidduchim Betzet. Now, this is nothing compared to what he says in the other two. Yeah. So one possibility, what the Rivash means, is what this Shoel had suggested, right? Which is, right, you see that there was a Shita who suggested that maybe in our Sugya, the Chabura really is a Psikresha, it really is inevitable, but it's not that's not necessarily a problem because it is Lonichale, right? So that's possibility one. Possibility two, though, is what was swallowed in the question of the Shoel at the beginning. Right, the Shoel had the following argument. Right, he said that maybe it's mutter to comb hair, you comb a human hair on Shabbos, because even though it's true that you can't get through an entire combing of your hair without pulling out a hair, that's not really called psikresha. Why? Because on any given hair, right, you're not pulling it out.
Right.
The Rivash, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Right, that's ridiculous. But there is a prominent Risha who suggests something very similar. And here we need a little bit of background, right? The Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovach Shirim notes there's basically two suggestions in Rishonim as to why Psikresha is us according to everybody. One possibility is that it's called miskaven, that any time something's inevitable, since you're aware that the act you're doing necessarily entails something else, that means that you're okay with it, and if you're okay with it, we count it halachically as miskaven. That's possibility one. Possibility two, he says, is no, it has nothing to do with that. It's true that when something's inevitable, you might not want it, might not be miskaven. But because it's inevitable, definitionally, the act that you do is considered the cause of the result, because if it's necessarily entailed, so then it doesn't matter whether you want it or not. If you know it's going to happen, right, then it's that, you know, that's your problem, right? You may not want it to happen, but if it's going to happen because of your action and you know that, so then it's not a kavana problem, it's just that it's definitionally linked to your action. But there is a third shita, which is a subset of that second shita, which is what Ray Willig likes to call super psikresha, right? Which is, if you think that the reason psikresha is usser is because any act I do, I am responsible for that act and all its necessary entailments, right? All necessary consequences, all inevitable consequences. So you could divide that into one of two ways. One is the way almost all Rishonim take it, which is that I'm chayev only if my act, my specific act, was definitionally going to cause a malacha. But there is a more extreme way, which is to say that if the problem with psik resha is that it makes my act of heter, considered an act of isser because it caused isser, it's not enough for my personal act to have been the proximate necessary cause of the malacha. It needs to be that there's no way in the world to do that act without performing a malacha. I mean, it can't just be definitional. It has to be definitional, not just necessary, right? That's a very fine, right? The very fine distinction. Yeah. So what's that? So let's look at the shita who holds this, right? This is a complicated idea. And it's also very strange. But look at 16, right? Rashi has the following comment in a sugya in Zvachim, which I won't get into the details. But he says, "V'im tomar psik reisha v'lo yamasu." The right. The Gemara is talking about basics. The Gemara is talking about doing nisuch on the mizbeach, and the Gemara said that right that you. In that context, Rashi asked the following question. He says, there's an isser of putting out the fire on the Mizbeach. So Rashi says, how could you do this? You're pouring wine onto the Mizbeach. You're putting out fire, definitionally, right? That's called a psik resha. Aren't you violating an isser? So he says, no. Efshar demizalef lebetikon dakas me'od. He said, theoretically, you could pour the wine very, very, very slowly, right? Drop by drop, such that it wouldn't put out any fire, right? It would be you'd pour it, you know, with an eyedropper, so that as the wine fell into the fire, it would evaporate. It would never put out the water, right? And then he says, "Hilkach inami mechaba betipim gasos davar shein meskavenu." And he said, since theoretically you could have dripped the wine on the fire without putting out the fire, even if you put it, you actually pour it in large, right, drops, such that it will put out the fire for sure, it's not called psik resha. Now, what does he seem to be saying?
Because you don't really want to put out the fire.
Well, it's not that you don't really want to. It's more than that. It's not inevitable. Meaning, it is inevitable that your action will lead to it. But the act called dripping wine doesn't, by definition, entail putting out fire. And so Ray Willig points out that Rashi, at least his first glance, seems to believe not in, right, regular psik resha. He thinks that there's only one type of psik resha that's really, really usur. And that's what he calls super psik resha. Right, not just where my act will cause a malacha, because in this case, the act will cause not a malacha, it'll cause the going out of the mizbeach, which is usur. Rashi's saying in a Hanami, I'm going to pour wine on the Mizbeach and it's going to put out the fire because I'm pouring it with big drops.
That's an impossibility, though.
What?
That's an impossibility, though, according to what Rashi's saying.
It's, no, so right,
there's always a possibility that whatever
So there's two ways of reading Rashi, right? One way of reading Rashi is that I could do it with small drops, and therefore, even if I accidentally, right, Rashi is saying, I really should be doing it with small drops. And if I accidentally pour a few big drops, right, that's not psik resha, that's davar shein meskaven, because I meant to pour small drops. Right?
But it sounds to me different, the super concept, because that doesn't sound different than the
non-. No. The first way I said is not super.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, you could say that Rashi doesn't mean what I just said, right? Rashi just means that you're actually trying to pour small drops, and it turns out that sometimes there are big drops, that's not a big deal, right? Because then it's davar shein meskaven, it's not psik resha, right?
Put drops on.
Right. But the super psik resha conceptualization is that, no, what Rashi is saying is that I'm even allowed to pour... Exactly, I'm allowed to pour big drops.
Why?
Because if... Right, if you say the reason psik resha is usur is not because it's a kavana issue, but because it's a necessary entailment issue, so you can say necessary entailment in one of two ways. You can say, my pouring of the drops will cause the fire to go out, and therefore it's usur. Or you could theoretically say what Rashi might be saying, that no, only if pouring drops always puts out fire, then pouring drops is usur.
So it's not a vadai.
No, that's what he says. No, but that's what he said. Even if it is a vaday, but it's not definitional. It's vaday, but it's not definitional.
Potentially, it's a drop.
Potentially, it's never a vaday.
Meaning, yes, but he's not saying you have to try for that. He's saying,
go ahead. Yeah, I'm talking about in theory, it's never a vaday.
Right. In theory. No. Do we have the psak? We're pausing for psak here, right? Is he coming back and giving the shir? Okay, we're still in Suffolk. Okay, fine. Now, Ray Willick points out that notion of psikresha seems to be what drove the shoel in the Rivash. Because what did the Rivash say? Combing hair always pulls out hair. You're right, it's not definitional, it's inevitable. Right? Meaning, if I comb my hair, right, inevitable. I will pull... Well, no, that's what he says. It's inevitable in the whole process that you'll pull out a hair. Right? So if you think psikresha is usur whenever it's inevitable, so then of course combing your hair is usur. But if you think psikresha is only usur, not when it's inevitable, when it's definitional, since theoretically I could comb one hair at a time, and on each given hair, I might not pull it out, which shows you that it's not definitional. It may be inevitable, but it's not definitional. So the shoel and the psik in the rivash seems to also hold, like this possible read of Rashi, that there's something called super psikresha. Now, Ray Willick happens to think that the Rambam also holds of super psikresha. That's a shir for another time. Now, why is this important? So let's come back to Shittim Gobetzet. Right? Maybe that's what the Shittim Gobetzet means. Right? Maybe he's using psikresha at two levels. He's saying, even though it's psikresha, meaning it is inevitable that I'm going to cause a chabura, it's not really, really psikresha, because psikresha is only definitional, right? The same way the Shoel thought, right? The Shoel and the Rivash. That in a Hanami I'm going to cause a Chabura, but I'm not going to cause a Chabura now, right? I'll cause it at some point during the process, but that's not called psikresha, right? That's not called psikresha. So that's my third, right? That's possibility two and three for understanding the Shittim Gobetzet. Right? One was that he was Lav Dafka. Two is that he's passing like the Aruch. The psikresha is mutter if it's lo nichale. And three is that he's used psikresha in two ways. Psikresha, sort of casually, right? Inevitable, because it's going to happen. But he's saying it's only usur if it's the real, real psikresha, which is super psikresha, which is definitional, not just inevitable.
But can't you then say, if that's Rashi's way of thinking, maybe Shibetz's way of thinking, that there's never such thing as a badai?
Almost never. Because that's true.
You could have somebody like me who's bidyuk. Bald, basically. And it'd be very hard.
You're right. It would be very hard, according to this, to ever actually come up with a real psikresha. And that's why Ray Willig uses this. And the reason I wanted to go through this, not because it's interesting conceptually, but because
the whole idea of psikresha while young.
Well, it almost, right? There are very few cases of psikresha. Well, that case is, it's definitional, right? If I cut off a head, it'll be dead, right? If you read it like Rashi and Tosfos. Oh. What?
You can cut off a chicken's head and keep the chicken alive.
No, you can't. Not halachically, you can't.
Not back then, for sure.
Maybe now. Okay, fine. Yesh ladun, right? And would it be halachically alive? That depends. If you think that brain death is right, you cut an egg off the head, makes it dead. Halachically, it's already dead.
If you respirate it,
in a chanami, but
places the brain too of the chicken.
Okay. Yesh ladun. Okay, that would introduce all types of interesting things.
If you really want to find an effort, money into it.
Okay, so let's assume like Rabbeinu Chanan, all that psikresha v'loyamos doesn't mean what Rashi and Tosfos thinks it means, right? Rabbeinu Chanan and the Aruch think that psikresha v'loyamos means that if someone says I'm a highway robber, and whenever someone doesn't want to give me the money, I shoot them and I kill them. I don't really want to kill them, right? I just want to take their money. But if I have to kill them to take their money, I'll do it. Don't call me a murderer. I'm not a murderer. I'm a thief, right? It's just, I had to kill the guy to get his money. Right? There's no two ways about it. Because Rabbeinu Chananel says it's not cutting off the head. It's if you kill him, right? Because you want to kill him so you can get the money. Don't tell me that it was just an... Right? Okay. But Ray Willig notes, now he doesn't pask in this way, but he puts it as a limut schus, which is that all the poskim, for a reason we'll see in just a moment, assume, well, besides for the fact that there's a gemara mefreshet, but all the poskim assume that combing your hair on Shabbos is usur, mid'oraisa, right? Probably mid'oraisa, right? Elamai, there are many people who comb their hair on Shabbos. Sorry, Willick suggested as a limut zchus. Again, he doesn't paskin this way. I'm going to make that very clear because I'm on recording. He does not paskin this way. But as a limut zchus, he suggests that if Rashi in fact holds super psik resha, right, in a totally different sugya, and the Shoal and the Rivash felt that it was mutter to comb your hair on Shabbos because, you know, barring whatever circumstances he thought in the Garden Nazir, but under normal circumstances, thought that it was mutter to comb your hair because it's not a super psik resha. So the Rivash may have rejected it, but if Rashi holds the same way, and according to him, and according to Rabbi Willig, maybe the Rambam holds the same way, right? So then, yesh lahalod alad, right? Yesh lahalod alad. So we have a limud zchus. Again, he would never endorse this, but as a post facto justification to say why those people who so comb.
How do you define a super secret? What gives you?
It's a definitional, right? There would be no way of doing this act without causing malacha, right? There's no way of killing somebody without killing them, right? That's right. Like, you know, definitional. Right.
So the only
psik resha. You know, Chanami, if you say hold a super psik resha, very few things are right. Psik resha. Now, as we saw, halachically, this is not how we paskin bichlal. Right. This is not how we paskin kihuzet. Right. We paskin that it's psik resha because we don't hold. First of all, we don't hold a super psik resha. Second of all, we hold that the hair case may be mechavein. Right. It's not clear what the Gemara Nazir means. It's mechavein or psik resha. And more than that, the Rivash just notes a few interesting points to even add into the discussion. And he says, besides, one of the svaras the Shoal had said was maybe you should say that according to the Aruch would be mutter. Why? Because it's psik resha li'ibud. Right? Let's say it is psik resha, but I don't care. I don't care that I'm pulling out my hair. Right? The Gemara was talking about a case where you wanted to pull out the hair, but let's say you don't want to pull out the hair, then it's psik resha le'ibud. And according to the Aruch, now you have another shita to rely on. Right? So the Rivash, if you go back to the top of the page here, he says no. And he's mechadi something fascinating. He says, why would you say that le'ibud is mutter? Because le'ibud normally is malacha shen tzricha le'gufa, is a form of malacha shen tzricha le'gufa. Right? That I'm not doing the malacha for its own sake. So he says, maybe that doesn't work here, because maybe gozes, right, the shearing, which is the av malacha of cutting hair, and therefore pulling out hair on Shabbos, maybe that's mut aser, even by malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Why? So he says, sharei anotol tziparnav b'kli afal pishena tzarach li tziparnav. He said, what's, the Gemara says explicitly, what is aser under gozes, cutting your nails? He said, how many people, when they cut their nails to save the nails? Right? How often does that happen? But it's aser. El az liibud. Chayva filu Reb Shimon. The pater malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Reb Shimon, even Reb Shimon, who says malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is mutter, right? Is pater at least. He says that's aser midaraisa. Why? Shar netila hi av malacha v'chein v'seyar. Because he said, well, what do you think the malacha was? If the malacha was shearing, right? That's what do you think the malacha was? Says the Aval Pishav Shot and Niri Bechidur Kesvei Kodesh Chol Ashor Azol Liibud Lo Machay B'Psik Reisha Kevin the Shakel Barzai Nu Nami Tami Yishum Ein Terachav Shot Bekach V'Mchim V'Chavin Lo Machay K'Mashveir Shvashi Aval Mentila Seyar V'Tzipar Naim Terach Netila Bekach. He said, first of all, this is derech netila, right? Normally, malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is mutter because it's not the derech. It's not the derech of doing it li'ibud. But he said the normal case of cutting your hair is li'ibud. The normal case of cutting your nails is li'ibud. When are you saving this stuff, right? And we know that's aser midaraisa. That's possibility one. He says second one.
But when you're doing ziza, when you're gozes, it's not li'ibud.
So then his second argument, right? Yeah. So then he says, well, maybe not. Right, and then that's his second possibility. Is what response to Sam? He says, "In v'nira lomer gamkein davshad the lohavi b'mishkan rach letzoracha or," and you're going to tell me that in the Mishkan they did it letzorach? How do you know? How do you know that the reason it was usher to do gozes is because in the malacha they needed wool? Maybe the reason it's usher to gozes is because they needed
the skin.
Yeah. And therefore the malacha in the Mishkan was li'ibud. Because you were cutting the hair, li'ibud. So he says, right, so the Rivash says two svaras. He said, maybe cutting your hair and cutting your nails is different for one of two reasons. Either because the original malacha in the Mishkan was for the or, or also for the or, right? And therefore there were cases where the Av Malacha was li'ibud, right? And two, it's maybe the only reason Malacha trains in Chagufa is only Pater is because it's not Derech, but Darko Bekach. But the normal way of cutting hair and cutting nails is Darko Bekach, right? So those two Svarot are accepted by the Poskim against the Shoel. And if you look at the Morgan Avram, well, I gave it to you in the...
I have difficulty with his comparison of the nails to the hair. I can understand when you're getting a haircut, because it's Libud. But here, in our action, the person, or even with the animal, doesn't want to create a Chabura, and he's avoiding it. Or with combing your hair, you're trying to avoid losing the hair. It's not that you want that action to take place at all. And you prefer, if you were able to comb your hair and not lose any hair, that would
correct,
be preferred.
Correct, but he says it doesn't matter. Well, according to second, right? According to second reason, he said it really wouldn't matter. Because if in the Mishkan...
there, it's for the skin.
Right, because he's...
here, you don't want to lose that
hair. No, but he's saying there, I'd rather the hair was never grown, right? I just want the skin. It's just annoying that there's hair there, right? It's all... I'd rather... right, I'd rather it not happen, but it's the only way to do this. Right,
but in our action that the Shoel is asking about, I don't want to lose any of those hairs. And the fact that one came off, that
right, but he says it doesn't matter, right? Meaning he said it's not right for one of two reasons. Either because, still, that's Darko, right? Or because the Malacha itself in the Mishkan was sort of, you know, not Litzorach Gufo. And therefore, he says it doesn't matter,
but
right?
But isn't Ibud based on... Your personal.
So he says no, right? He says it's based on the definition of the malacha, right? I mean, his argument is that li'ibud is a function of it not being a classic malacha, right? But he said if the classic malacha is li'ibud, then li'ibud don't help you, right? Right, that right doesn't help you, right? But then that's his argument. Now in Echanami, you can argue and then say no, li'ibud is mutter because it's derech makal, it's makalkel. Right, and not derech binyan, but the Rivash assumes not this way, and that's what's nishtak lahalacha, right? And if you look at
it's a bit like the malacha of Zorah that we talked about.
Right, and Zorah is also one of these exceptional ones. There's a few. The Balmor has a list of a few exceptional ones. And if you just look at the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berura here in 14 and 15, right, this is what they say. He said the Magen Avraham says shiv shashuli akir, right? You can't comb because you'll obviously uproot. Can bearish Rashi v'shabbos the v'psik reisha v'ikshav Rivash. Simon Shin Sadi Dalid, the Hub in Nazar Dafim and Bez, I'm reading Behedya, the time of the Osir Mishnah, the Kalsar, Glazar, Neiman, Medullah, and Shain, Mechubar, and Yap, become a Chavain, Kalashano. Right, so he said, the Gemara seems to say it's Mechavain. Rashi seems to say it's Psikresha. Isn't that a problem? He said, Vesha, the Rashi, Balashmin, and Dafilo, Ainam, Mechavain, Asher, Neiman, Osir. Maybe what Rashi is telling you is that even when you don't have Kavan, it's still Osir because it's Psikresha. The Gemara, Hasa, might have been Mizrach Rach. Maybe the Gemara there is talking about where you're using a soft comb, but you are intending to cut it, right? And therefore, a soft comb with intention to bald hair would be usur, and a hard comb would be usur without intent, because it's psikresha, v'zelishon arivash, and that's the way we paskin, that abachurot mitaknot ma'aseya rosh b'kli, ha'asri miser chazir, v'adavra yadua she'en bo mishum asher se'ar, right? People use a brush, that's fine. Aval b'masrek, usur. But combing is asur v'hadish arikeirib b'behema, and why is it mutter by the animals? Right, back to our sugya, hainu shesara sugasim, either because the hairs are stronger, or as we saw, maybe they're cut differently. V'afili yeshom b'sikreishon lo nichalei shari k'mashik hasuv. And even if you think p'sikreishon lo nichalei is mutter, mikel makom shivin shehu rotze b'afradas asaras, and this comes to how he's pointing, is another svara. It's true you don't want to pull out the hair, but you want to separate the hairs, right? You want the hairs, you want to comb. The Esher says, Zulara Ashara, that's just the nature of the nature of the beast, right? If your hair is tangled and you cut it and you want your hair to look civilized, some hair is coming with it. You're right. Ideally, your hair would never get tangled, but that's not realistic, right? That's just the nature of combing. Right, the EF says Zulah Ashara Chayev Kamol Not Tziparna Chayev Mishum Gozi V'Avakav De Lo Tzarach Letziparnaim. And he says it's just like cutting your nails. Even though it's Eimsar Chagufa, even though it's Libud, doesn't matter. The Mishkan goes from Orod at Chashim Afabish Loitzvicham Letzemar Sheinkin B'Mafshida Or. And then he quotes the Svarah Rivash, and the Mishnah Berurah in 15 says Kavzer B'Sefer Shuas Yaakov the Ra'isi Anashim Mekilim Lisrak Roshim B'Shabbos. The Shuas Yaakov said that I see people coming on Shabbos. V'Kimat Nasa Adavar Keheter Islam, and they think it's Mutter. Vo'Oyle Einayim Shekach Rose. Woe is to the eyes of it to see this. Lavor b'shat nefesh l'chal Shabbos b'yadayim, who willfully violate Shabbos b'yadayim, u'me'aroy l'kol chocham b'iro l'hazir al zeh, every rabbi should get up and say, don't comb on Shabbos, u'la yishmu v'ichum musar akan varo, because maybe people will listen. My pre-Yom Kippur, now I'm Yotze, okay? It's on Yom Kippur, it's public for the world, I've said my piece. Right? Don't comb your hair on Shabbos. Fine. U'mashe m'shivin sh'muchru l'atakin serosim k'desh l'izganim v'nei chaverov. People say, how can I go outside on Shabbos looking like a schlump? Right? My hair is all messy. So get a brush. Right? Get a brush. Right? You can do it beheter. Don't worry about it so much. Or use your hand.
Who said a brush or
the
your hand is not going to take the hair out? Like,
yeah, we're not done with the broom.
Soft brush. Soft brush. No, soft brush. Soft brush.
But it's
like a baby, brush. Like a baby brush. Doesn't pull out hairs.
Yes, it'll take out
if you do it lightly. No.
Even if you have a beard and you go like that, you're still going to... It's inevitable that some hairs will come out.
No, that might be hairs that are already... No, those might be hairs that are already out. If you just do it like this, it doesn't pull out hairs that are still in your face.
If you have a beard, I guarantee... Listen, I learned in yeshiva. Okay, lots of guys
sitting
there with beards.
Oh, God.
And the minute the hair came out, they came right into the Gemaras. Oh. It wasn't even a question.
Thanks. Thanks for that wonderful image. They're bookmarked, you know?
The hair like that, and then hair
no, but the question is that hair that they're pulling out, or
that's the modern Gemaras. In Europe, the Gemaras were full of hair because you weren't allowed to throw out the beard hairs. So they used to put them
right.
In.
Really?
Yeah. Because the beard hairs are tsinaras to the...
Oh, my God.
Right.
In Kabbalah, the beard hairs are pipelines to the... you can't, if they come out, you can't throw them out. So they used to put them
In a napkin.
Oh, God. Okay, anyways. Mishabur continues. Let's just finish his statement. He said, why would you violate the sister's rice of Yadayim? And then he says, Shloyakra Saros, Mikomoka Mutra Latakin, Ma'adis, Zer, Harosh, Baklia, Asim, Zer, Chazir, you're allowed to use a soft brush. The Dafka Lisro, combing is Asr, Asr, but the Mesher, Zer, Balatakin, Ma'ad, Shari, Misrak, Asr, Apazev, and Agushu, Klia, Asim, Zer, Chazir, Yuchel, the Shabbos. The Minog is not only to use a brush, but use a special brush which you only use on Shabbos, Kadeshul, Yemexik, Uvdin, the Chol, to solve Uvdin, the Chol problems. Fine. So just to summarize what we saw, right? Because I brought this all in, both because Halach Lamaisa and to explain the Sugya. The standard psak is following the Rivash, following the Morgan of Ram, following the Mishnah Berurah, which is we understand psak rachis straightforwardly, which is if you intend to pull out hair, obviously it's usur, it's kavana. Even if you don't intend to pull out hair, if it's inevitable, it's usur, because it's a psak rachis. Now, we don't really paskin like the Aruch, the psak rachis l'nichalei, right? Is mutter, but even if you did paskin like it, two svaras to be machmir is maybe that's only by malachot which aren't gozes, either because gozes is always li'ibud or standardly li'ibud, if not always, or maybe the malach in the mishkan was li'ibud and therefore you would lose all heter, because if the original malacha, meaning you were combing, you were shearing the animal to get the skin and not to get the wool. If the original malach on the Mishkan was that way, so then there's nothing you can do that will make it mutter. That's the position of the Yavash, the Magen Avram, the Mishnah Berurah. What's the possible defense? Right? Again, this is not halacha l'maisa, but as a defense, and this is what Rabbi Lug suggests, that if you follow the derech like Rashi, and Rashi himself doesn't say this, but right, maybe he does under certain circumstances, probably not, but if you wanted to, right, you could say that the Shaul and the Yavash hold super psikresha, and since Rashi has indications that he might hold super psikresha, though he, again, it's not mukrach in the Gemara in Zvachim, though it is the simpler read of the Gemara in Zvachim, though I think the other read that I suggested was suggested by Revilson. I think I was partial to this in YU also, but now I may have switched over. I'm not sure which is the easier read of Rashi. So then, maybe we could have a limud chos, and maybe this is what the shittim gombetzet means also, right? Either he paskins like the aruch, right? Either he's not literal, or he paskins like the aruch, that causing the chabura is psikresha, but psikresha dlo nichalei, and therefore it's mutter, or he means it's sort of psikresha, like it's inevitable, but it's not psikresha definitional, and therefore he thinks it's mutter. If you have the shittos who may hold the super psikresha, so then, like the shol and the yavash, they would say that any time you're not going to necessarily pull out that hair, right, you're not doing it in such a way that, you know, I don't know, you're not using like a knit comb, right? Mamash, every hair you have, like, you know, if you pull, right, that will always just pull out hairs, right? That's what you're doing, right? Every time you see a, you know, you see a knit, so you just go in and it pulls out whatever hair is with it, I think. I don't know.
So this When you have a loss like this, where you're doing an action over and over again, nobody comes over here once, right? You just go,
you know, and that's the Rivash's point. The Rivash's point is that, what are you talking about? You don't look at the individual action and ask them.
Why not? I understand that you can say that any individual hair, it's not a secretion to a
plug. Right, and that's what the Shoel says.
That's what you get the
right.
Hair.
And the Rivash says, what are you talking about? That's not how life works, right?
All right, but if it's still one action, not looking at individual hairs. If someone, let's say, does. I form hair into 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's say. So, on any one individual action, I may not pull out a hair. Is that still secretion? Because on the third swipe, I will, for sure. If you can show
when
someone does this 5 times their hair, at least on 2 of them or something, no hair.
Right, that would be the question, right? When the Gemara, the way we paskin is that combing is usher and brushing with a light brush is mutter, right? Maybe it's true that maybe that's the difference, right? That a light brush sometimes will pull out hair, but it's not inevitable, right? The combing, you're always pull out on every comb, right?
You say that, I understand. But if you're not going to pull out with every comb, then...
Right, so I mean, theoretically, you could say that our combs are differently, but, you know...
Different animals you do, and that is...
Right, and it might depend on your hair, right? It might, you know...
People's hair differently also.
Right, you could talk about... I mean, you could definitely come up with arguments, right? The mice, I wouldn't say this, but theoretically, yeah.
The Mishnah takes it one step further, because if you think about it, that, you know, you don't have to talk about different kinds of kaolin. You can take, an average comb, not a nip comb, and instead of vigorously combing your hair, just run...
Correct, you could do that.
Right, but...
I mean, theoretically.
Mishnah says, you know, mechsei ke...
Right, so he adds an ovdin d'chol onto this, right? Right, now the ovdin d'chol thing, you won't be able to solve with that, right? Because, and that's why people have, you know, the reason that a lot of people have a Shabbos brush, right? And my father growing up always had a Shabbos brush, right? Because that's what Mishnah Berurah says, you know, and that's what...
Even if you have a Shabbos brush, you brush your hair vigorously with any brush, you're gonna...
No, in a chanami, you know, but if you have like a baby brush and do it like... You know, now it doesn't really help so much, right? If you wake up with bad hair and, you know, look, for guys it's not as big a deal, right? Whatever. If you have short hair, it's not, you know, it's not as bad, right? But, you know.
Why didn't the Rav Ash quote our Gemara?
Well, he did. Yeah, he did. V'chein Rabban and Gazer in the middle of the sugya. In the middle over here.
You didn't use that as his original source.
It wasn't his first, but even he was asking about human hair. And so he eventually got to the animal hair.
When did he move on from Chabura to hair removal?
When he went back and forth from the Gemara Nazir. Gemara Beitza talks about Chabura, and the Gemara Nazir talks about combing, so he... Right. Again, it's a very, very, very long tshuva.
He changes the two.
Well, I mean, he tries to square the two, and he says maybe it depends on how thick the hair is, you know, how sharp the comb is, all types of... Okay. We have a few minutes left, so just very quickly, we're up to number 20 here. New sugya, but very quickly. I don't want to spend time on this, so I'm just going to look at it. Right, the last issue in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, which the Gemara doesn't even talk about, had been the shochken esa pilpulin berichayim. Right, Shelahen was the grinding of peppers. Now, this is primarily sugya in the first perek, right? What types of spices can you grind? What can't you grind on Yom Tov? Right, salt versus other spices. What type of grinder can you use? Right, most of those sugyas are in the first one, so I don't want to get back into it. I just wanted to give you the summary, just to refresh our memories of what's going on here. How do we paskin? So that was just 20 to 23. Without getting into it, let's just look at summarize the halacha next week. If you thought this was complicated, well, sorry. Before we end the parak and move on to back to more Moed stuff, we have a little trip into Taros. Yay! Which is when I sat doing this sugya. I'm like, oh, I forgot how hard Tumas Zav and Tumas Medras is. Oh, and Tumas Beis Kibul in Kalim and all that. I had to look over all my Taros stuff and bang my head against the wall a few times. It was great. So that's what we're going to do next time.
3 weeks.
In 3 weeks,
We have to just go to Mikvah tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. It'll make us... What?
Are you making it clear? I won't be here.
I was like, oh, we'll have Shir next week. He's like, oh, it's Sukkot. Oh, right, it's Sukkot already. It's Yom Tov. Right. So, no.
Next 2 weeks.
Yom Tov. So 3 weeks. So just to look at the summary of the Halacha L'maisa, which brings together the first parak and this parak, and I don't want to get into how it does that, but fine. Dachin is a tavlin kedarkan. This is what we pass in the chazyom tov. You're allowed to grind spices normally. Shem yadacholsam b'yom yafik tamon. If you remember, the reason is because if you want fresh spices, right?
Right.
It's not now. Most people don't do this, but you know some people do, right? You have like the, you know, now that this is like all the rage now, the black pepper, either the fancy ones, but even not, you can buy them in the store now with the grinder on top. And if you go to, I've seen it a little bit here in Canada, but in the States you can find it at Trader Joe's. They do it with sugar and cinnamon, right? Like you can do a sugar and cinnamon grinder also. There's a grinder on the top, or salt, right? There are some of these, you buy them and they have a grinder on top. So yeah. Spices, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov because it's fresher, and it is, right? Avol melach, but salt you couldn't, right? Melach ino nidach b'Yom Tov elam kein hita machdesh or shiyadach nagar b'chayetz, but you can't do it normally. Kidei sheyishne shalcha melach b'merav Yom Tov lo yafik tamo, because salt doesn't change taste. I don't know. I don't know if this is true of like the fancy schmancy salts, you know, like the pink Himalayan salt and all like that. You know, like. I don't know. I assume I'm going to guess this. I'm not posturing this.
More than one salt.
It's just a risk.
Oh my God! You can buy all these salts. There's all these different. So I don't know if this is true of all salts. No, but there's like these. No, but you can see them. The pink Himalayan salt. Yeah. So I don't know if like all these salts, whether they taste differently if you grind them before or not. I don't know if they do taste different. Then yesh ladun, right? Meaning, is it like melech, a formal gzeira? Or is it just that realistically most salts don't taste different if you grind them before? I don't know.
It's my machoim sheet.
Right. So I think we need to ask some expert in salt, and then we need to then got to think about halachically. But biderach klal, you can't do it with salt, but your pepper. Yeah, exactly right. One day. The gauntlet has been thrown down. But the black pepper ones on Yom Tov you could use, not black pepper, the salt, whatever, the sugar and black, whatever, the sugar and cinnamon one, let's say. The ein shochin as a pilpulin, or as a chard lebrachaim shalahem mishum devin givdin dechol, but pepper. You can't do in their grinder, like the, you know, the pest, you know, the whatever, the mortar and pestle. You have to use a normal spice thing. So I assume that are, like, you know, the ones you buy in the store with the same grinder, that's mutter, right? It's not the unique pepper one, it's just what you get in the store, right, for every one of those. Right? They're all the same, right? The pepper one, the salt one. So that would presumably be fine in Yom Tov. I think umiu nogin l'shanas k'tas b'dichas tavlin, but the minog is to change it a little bit. V'chein roi l'horos, and that you should do it again. I don't know. You know, we have to think. If we actually wanted to paskin right now, we'd have to think. Right? Is there a way of doing it? Right? If that's the way you buy it, right? Are we bound to this chumrah? Right? Meaning, how often we don't normally grind it. The only time we grind it is when we have buy these ones from the store that have the little grinder on top.
You have a grinder thing also.
Okay, if you're that fancy, then Echanami should do it.
That.
No, I know people do that. But like for me, like if I happen to buy it, right, you know, the whatever from the store. I don't know if I'm bound. I wonder whether I'm bound to the minhag, right? Because it's such a pain. What are you going to do? You're going to take it off? I'm going to put it in another grinder? Like, right? Technically, it's mutter, right? There's some minhag to do Mishanak Tzatz.
Just buy one.
I mean, if you're just me, I'm like, I'm okay, so I'll just go a few days without the, you know, I'll use regular cinnamon, I'll use regular sugar, okay. But there are people who are very...
Just turn it upside down, or it's on its side.
Or whatever, yeah, I don't know.
Do
okay.
It with hand. Do it with
yeah, hand. Yeah. Do it with your teeth, yeah, I don't know. Exactly. Okay, anyways.
Some of us are lefties. But is this absolute or dependent upon the person? What if someone can't tell the difference, even though... The pepper is different whether fresh or not. But not all of us are bakis to taste that difference. Are we still allowed to do it?
That's an interesting question, which I don't know, I gotta think about that. I'm not totally sure, right?
When do you say batel dato?
Yeah, batel dato, itel das kolam. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I gotta think about it. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's just certain people, you know, is it, people don't do it. So.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Do it just as a status, where you have it because it's a fancy.
Yeah, practice. You know, in a chanami. Okay.
Don't know the difference.
Well, yantiv, obviously. Yantiv, this is all yantiv. Yantiv.
What's the
Shabbos now?
What's the issue we're worried about?
I mean, what? Tochen. Tochen, grinding.
Yeah.
But isn't ochel nefesh take you out of it?
Well, only because we, right, only ochel nefesh, which is EF for Yom. That's the point, right? Because salt, but that's the point. So, right, so that, so salt, right, that's what I'm saying is that, that's what I was asking. What happens if, from your vantage point, it's totally the same, like, big deal, right? And then you'd have to ask, well, what if from your vantage point it's the same, but the only salt, the only sugar and cinnamon you have in the house is the little grinder thing from Trader Joe's? Is that called extra bouillon? Because I could sit there and grind it into a cup before. I didn't know I wanted to use it. I have no idea, right? It's not like I'm not like cooking. I'm like putting it in my drizzling it on whatever you drizzle it on.
Right, that's a definition of extra bouillon.
No, in a chanami, right? So then would that be more right? But you know, and do you ask? Well, technically, it's a little bit better. That's why they started making these things, right? But I don't really notice, right? But technically, it is better, right? It's a good question. It's a, you know, sugya, and again, this is really a first parak sugya, but I just wanted to sort of remind the issues that are here. The Bach in 21 says, Ravina Chanana Vashiltos, Dapa Yomtov, Tsarchinid, Lesnu, Bukhal Shar Tavlin, Ochen Gedarkan, the Pilkan, Reka Lomafik, and Tamon. Ravina Chanana on the Shiltos say the reason that by pepper it's a little bit different is because apparently it doesn't weaken its taste. It's not quite like salt, it doesn't change at all, but it's not like other ones that there's a big difference, it's somewhere in the middle. Etc. And then he quotes the Mordechai in the name of the Ravyon, the Smach, and maybe by pepper, the reason you have to do a shinui is to remind you not to do too much. Okay, Mishnah Berurah says Mishum Devin Uvdin Kachol Tvei. It's more Uvdin Dechol. The Yeshi Kadoshim Dehevei Al Yedei. The Tochin Gamor. So to Machlokes, what in the end of the day is the real problem with pepper? Some people say it's just an Uvdin Dechol thing, and some, as we saw in the Bach, think it's actually a problem of Tochin. Right, that it's also on Yom Tov, the Eltzim and Tav Tadi. Hey, Dafil wrote to Lasso Shinuk and Litchon Chadachadav, Chedigav, and Namas or Berechayim. And if you're using the real clay, it'll be also with the Shinuk, who had in Litchon coffee. Berechayim Shalahed Nami, Asr, Lichlesh, Machteshet. This also is nafkamin as to how you grind coffee, that you can't grind coffee in the normal grinder, you have to grind it a little bit differently. Again, this is not my expertise, but you know, whatever. I mean, I usually use the electric one, so it doesn't help you. I mean, I don't drink coffee, but when I know when Ari uses it, we have the electric thing. But okay. The Ber Alacha says La Rashba Shisur Tori Mekal Mogam Nimsar Adavar Lidei Chachamim Veim Lo Asur Rak Malach Shederach La Sosa Harbe Bepam Achas Liamim Rabim. He said, what's the svara here that Ochel Nefesh is given over to the Chachamim? They only asur things which you normally do for storage. Dim Lokein My Nafkamina Benachdesh Lo Rechaim. Because otherwise, what's the difference between these different types of grinders? Hello Gam Kotesh Machdesh Chay Mishum Mito Reitochein. Right, both these grinders grind. Rag Mishum Machdesh Derech Lo. The difference is the type of grinder that you use for a day is mutter. The one you use for a long period of time to do a large quantity is usser. Now that's the distinction, right? If the line that you draw is that you're allowed to grind all these things in such a way that it's used in one day, so my guess, again, I have to go through this to get more in depth to really sort of pin it down. You know, the little grinder thing, right? You're not it's not made to grind a tremendous amount. It's meant to grind just enough for your food. Presumably, that's going to be mutter on Yontif, as opposed to, I don't know.
Commercial grade?
Commercial, right. Commercial ones wouldn't be. But those little ones you buy in the store, right? The whole thing is this big. It's not made. It takes forever. It's not like you can do it a lot. It's made. You turn it once. It drizzles a little bit. Zeh, that's what it's made to do, only a little bit. According to what the way the my first inclination say that according to Ber Halacha, Halacha Maitza, what you say is that are those little pepper grinders that you buy, right, from the store, maybe not the mortar and pestle thing, because theoretically you could do more, right, but the ones where you just, you know, turn, it's meant for one turn at a time, it's not that sharp, it's, you know, it barely works by the time you get to the bottom of the, you know, of the spice bottle, that presumably is made, right, for now use, and it is slightly better, right, I guess, that's why you buy it, or even as a status, I don't know, whatever it is, or that's the only thing that's available, so presumably that'd be mutter. Okay, whatever, this is primarily a first paragraph, but I just wanted to remind ourselves of some of the issues that are here. Next time we'll have, I'm going to try to cover the Torah stuff in one and a half weeks, and then we're going to start in Sodom and Bibrim, the third paragraph, and really get back to the Yom Tov stuff, Tochel Nefesh, and the like. Okay.